God's wrath is often a source of fear, and rightly so. God is justly angry with us because of our sins. And the last day should lead us to stop and consider our ways. It should lead us to repentance. Because when that day comes, Christians, there will be no more time. But for the Christian, God's wrath can also be a source of joy. And it is a source of joy because God will deal with all of the evil which we see in this world. And when he does that, Christians, he will also restore his people. He will lift up those who trust in him. But how do we know that? How do we know that God will restore his people on the last day? Well, we can just look at our Old Testament reading for today. And to be sure, Psalm 126 does not talk about the last day, at least directly. But the psalm does show us how God restores his people. He shows how the sorrow of his people will give way to joy. And he will restore the fortunes of those who love him, bringing all evil to an end. And we know this, Christians, because God has done it before. He has restored his people many times in the past. And if God did it then, he can also certainly do it again, just as he has promised to do. So Psalm 126, then, is divided into two equal parts, the first three verses and the last three verses. And in that first part, in the first three verses, the psalm looks back into the past to see what God has done. We hear, for example, in verse 1, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream." Now, the psalm doesn't point to any specific time. It's not giving a specific example. But if we look throughout all of the Bible, we can find all kinds of examples of how God restored his people. You have Noah, for example, who was brought through the flood when God restored the world after he had destroyed it because of sin. You have the days of the judges, when God raised up judges to deliver his people who had been put into the hands of others because of their sins. And you also have the example of the exile, when God's people had been sent away to faraway nations because of their sins, and yet God restored them again by bringing them home. There are many, many examples of how God restores the fortunes of Zion. And it is good for us to keep them all in mind. But all of these examples also show us an important truth, Christians. And that is that God does not do these things because they are somehow deserved. It's not as if God's people were suffering unjustly or innocently, and then God delivered them from their problems. And it's also not as if they somehow earned it through their righteousness or their good behavior. God had put them into those situations because of their sins. And if God is going to restore them, it's not because they somehow deserved it. Rather, it is because God, in his mercy and in his steadfast love, lifts them up again. God restores the fortunes of Zion because he is God, because he is love. And so it is with all of his restorations, Christians. He does it out of his grace. And even on the last day, he will restore those who trust in him because he loves them, and not for any other reason. And this grace which God shows to us in restoring the fortunes of Zion makes it all the sweeter. As we hear starting in verse 2, "Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Because Christians, there is no joy or laughter more delightful or sweeter than that which we did not expect. It's like someone coming home that we didn't expect to see for a very long time. Or a gift of charity when we weren't really sure how to make ends meet. And the psalm remembers the joy and the laughter of God's people in the past when he delivered them from their troubles out of his mercy. We can imagine the joy of Noah when he saw the dry land again. We can imagine the joy of the judges to see their enemies defeated. We can imagine the joy of the exiles when they saw their home once more. God lifted them up and gave them a joy that they were not looking for, and that made it all the better. And Christians, what a joy it will be for those who trust in God to see the last day, to see the day when evil will come crashing down suddenly, to see the day when God will root it out of his creation forever, to see the day when the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption. Then all the nations will say that the Lord has done great things. Then we indeed will say that we are glad. In the second half of this psalm, the last three verses, it now looks to the future, to what God is going to do. Because if God did these things before, he can certainly do them again. And so the psalm asks him to do these things again, to restore his people so that they can find the same joy in him. And the second part of this psalm uses two pictures to describe what this joy is going to look like when God restores the fortunes of Zion. And the first picture we hear in verse 4, where it says, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev." The Negev was the southern part of the land of Israel. And it was a very dry area, almost like a desert. The kind of area where water would be very critical. Anyone living there would rely on this water just to survive. But because of that, very often, streams in that part of the land went dry for part of the year. And that's what it's describing as the experience of God's people. They come looking for water, and yet they find none. They are dried up, and their hope seems to be lost. But when the rains came again, then they were filled up. And then they were rushing and bursting with water once more. And so it will be when God restores his people. Though they are dried up now, God will send the rains of his mercy, and he will wash away all evil and bring the suffering of his people to an end. And the second picture that we see in this section is that of a field. We hear starting in verse 5, "Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." So the tears of God's people then are compared to seeds. It's like taking a bag full of seeds and carrying them out to the field, where they will be scattered and thrown all about. And if we didn't know what was coming next, Christians, we might think it was a waste. We might think that they were lost forever. To see the seeds scattered about so that we can't gather them up again, and to see them disappear into the ground where it might seem like nothing would ever come of them. And so it often is with God's people. We are living in this vale of tears. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we live in a world where it seems that evil flourishes and good comes to nothing. We live in a world where pain and sorrow seem to be the only things that ever increase. The Christians, just as those scattered seeds, sprout and grow and bring forth a harvest. So will the tears of God's people bring forth a harvest of joy. God will turn our weeping into laughter, so that the one who goes out sowing in sorrow will come home in joy, bringing his sheaves with him. And Christians, just as the harvest is always greater than the planting, just as the seed which is planted does not produce just another seed, but many more besides, so it will also be for the people of God. No matter how many sorrows we plant, there will be far more joy. No matter how many tears we cry, there will be far more laughter in the Lord, because God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. That is the great joy of the last day. God will not only bring all evil to an end, God will also replace it with a joy that we can't even begin to imagine. The last day will be like a never-ending feast. It will be like a harvest that springs up as soon as it's planted. It will be like a city made out of gold and precious jewels. What a day it will be, Christians, to see the Lord do away with evil forever and restore the fortunes of his Zion for eternity. And if we still wonder about these things, we still wonder how this may be, we only have to look to Jesus Christ. Though you deserved God's wrath, Christians, Jesus suffered and died to take away your sins. And Jesus rose again on the third day. What greater restoration could there be? And Jesus promises that all those who trust in him will have a new life, and they will be raised up on the last day in a new and glorious and eternal body to be with God forever. Not even the great enemy of death will be able to take our joy away. And as proof of this, God has given us the Holy Spirit as the down payment of eternity, as a foretaste of the feast to come. You already have a small part of the joy that will be yours, because God has already started to restore your fortunes by calling you to faith in him, giving you that new life even now. Yes, Christians, the Lord has done and will do great things for us. To him be the power and glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who restores the fortunes of those who trust in you, help us always to keep our eyes fixed on you through this veil of tears, and to look to you in everything, because you will raise us up in Jesus Christ, your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.